I know what you are.
Say it.
A podcast!
Hi, and welcome to Breaking Twilight. This week, we'll be talking about Twilight vampire lore and some werewolf stuff. We used the superpower generator to find out what our vampire's power would be, so...
I'm Steve, your cheese manipulation vampire.
I'm Gwen, your annoyance inducement vampire.
That's not a superpower, that's just you. And you're very good at it. It's a great skill.
Thank you. I've honed my talents, what you're saying.
I just want to make it clear that I was complimenting you, not insulting you. You're very good at manipulating annoyance.
Cool. All right. So what are we talking about today?
So we're talking about the vampire lore of Twilight and how it really... It exists outside of vampire lore that already exists. It's like this entirely new canon that doesn't build on anything that already existed. Like, as we know, it came from a dream.
Literally.
I think there's something else that we could call this.
Welcome to Gwen's Science Corner, Part 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Where we just talk about how the Twilight vampires work. And it's mostly going to be questions and not so many answers, I think, this time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we already talked about how the way science works in Twilight is just non-existent. Now we're talking less about science and more about, like, just fantasy lore. Like, why do they sparkle?
So, okay. Assuming a wizard did it this time.
Yeah, this time we're not going to get into science. We're not going to be like, well, scientifically, this should happen because this happened. We're just narratively. And, you know, let's use your English lit degree and my, like, three English classes I took in university.
So, I guess for the sparkle thing, we could argue that, like, since they're the ultimate killing machines, TM, then, like, their skin being almost literal diamonds would be beneficial because nothing can hurt them, which is a good thing. But then, I guess, because they're kind of crystals and they would be shiny, but, like, it's weird that their actual skin cells would be, like, translucent when they change into a vampire because that's not how skin cells work. Like, at a molecular level, what are we talking about here?
Hey, we're not getting into science.
A little bit science. Gwen's Science Corner Part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Okay. So, kind of what you're saying is, like, it doesn't make sense that when they turn, that turns their skin to diamonds. Is that what you're getting at?
It's fine that that happens because they're supposed to be basically indestructible, but it's weird that it changes their cells into actual literal diamonds that sparkle in the light.
Their skin isn't literal diamonds. I think they just describe it as like diamonds, like our skin is as close to diamonds as it could be, but it's not a diamond, it's human skin.
Fair, yeah.
Well, vampire skin. But one thing I never got is, like, so they live in forks because they're avoiding the sunlight, because they sparkle in the sunlight. And, like, you know, in a lot of vampire stories, the reason the vampires live somewhere where there's not a lot of sunlight is more because, like, they're invulnerable to the sun hurts them, it's more of an allergy, and it's, like, it doesn't happen with other kinds of light, it's just sun, and that's why it makes sense for them to live somewhere overcast. But in this case, the argument they're making is that they sparkle when it's light out, and here's the thing about places where there's not a lot of sunlight, there's still light. Like, everyone in Forks isn't just living in the dark. There's still daytime, and daytime is still light out even when it's cloudy. And even if it's not light out, they go indoors and they have lights. They're not living in the goddamn Stone Age. I don't know of any material that sparkles in sunlight but does not sparkle in any other kind of light.
So what you're saying is they should sparkle in the fluorescence.
I'm saying it's the fluorescence. So, like, in comparing them to, like, traditional vampire lore, it seems really weird that that would be the take that they go for, from, you know, vampires not wanting to be in the sunlight because they're vulnerable to it, to vampires not wanting to be in the sunlight because it blows their cover. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me that anything would work like that. But of course, this is Twilight. I don't know why I would expect it to make sense.
Yeah, that's fair. And you know what's fun, too, is they, like, she kind of retcons in that the Cullens know the vampire lore, and they're like, oh, haha, that's not really how it works. Like in New Moon, Bella tries to take a picture of him and she's like, are you going to show up on film? And he's like, yeah, of course, that's not a real thing. But mm-hmm. like, it's funny that all the people know the real vampire lore that we have, and then the Cullens have their own vampire lore where, like, again, going back to New Moon, he goes out into a festival in Italy in body glitter and he's like, this will
surely expose vampires, even though that's not a known fact about vampires. I think you're getting to something really interesting there, which is like, yeah, they vampires fictionally exist in this universe, but I guess they have lore similar to what vampire lore is in our universe. But then why is that lore there?
Yeah, where did it come from?
And I think there's really interesting things you can do there, which Twilight did not. There was this book I read when we were in high school. I think it was called Peeps, and it was by Scott Westerfeld. And it, to this day, is, like, one of my favorite explanations of vampire, like, mythology. And I haven't read this book in about 10 years, so I don't know if the quality still holds up now. But I do kind of think about the concept that it had, which was that, like, when you become a vampire, the things that you previously liked, you hate. Like, you basically do this whole 180 where you like things that you hated and you hate things that you liked.
Okay.
And it was, like, historically, it explained the lore that we have around vampires. So it was, like, vampires, like, hundreds of years ago, concentrated around Italy. And as we know, Italy is very Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and Italian food is very garlicky, and it was like people loved garlic, people loved Jesus, and that's why they the things that they previously loved, like crosses and stuff, now hurt them. So like symbols of Jesus hurt them because of that, and it didn't actually have anything to do with like religious power. It more had to do with like these were the things that were important to this person before they became a vampire, and that's why they hurt this person now.
Catch me as a vampire listening exclusively to Taylor Swift.
Well, yeah, that was like, if I remember correctly, because it's been a while, but that was actually how they would defeat people, like the vampire hunters in this book. They would have to research what the vampires liked while they were alive and then go after them with those things. So like crosses didn't work, but you'd find like their favorite Avril Lavigne CD and play that for them.
I love that so much. That's great.
I think I might have to reread this book because, like, I don't know how much of this I'm remembering correctly because, like, it's been 10 years and I know I don't have the best memory, but that's, like,
right.
That's how I think it went. And I always just found it really interesting how it explained, like, the historic vampire lore there without bringing religion into it by saying, like, it was because religion was important to them that it hurt them after they were dead.
That is so wild. I love that. That's great.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so like Twilight, even though it acknowledges that that lore exists, that there are these rumors about like what vampires are and, you know, there's the fictionalized vampires that don't show up in photos and stuff. They never really go any deeper into that to explain why that lore is there and who started it.
Yeah, wouldn't it have been funny if like Carlyle started the rumors as a joke when he was in the Volturi?
Well, I have to assume it had something to do with the Volturi. Like, they would be, I feel like they would have, like, a rumor-mongering department.
Oh, right, yeah.
But again, like, that's, we're doing Smyre's work for her. She did not put that in the book.
Yeah, she didn't. And hey, speaking of vampires showing up on film and in mirrors and whatever, I kind of looked into that a little bit. And there's two explanations for that I've sort of found, where one of them is that mirrors back in the day used to be made from silver, and, you know, silver and supernatural things don't mesh, so it didn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And I think you were telling me that photographs back in the day were also had silver in there.
Yeah. So like that, I don't think that has anything to do with why that was a thing for a while, but I've seen, like, you know, people say like that as like a kind of explanation potentially.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so the first photographs were made with silver nitrate and silver chloride.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So this other explanation that I found yesterday, which I've never heard before but I really like, is that mirrors used to be thought of as like a reflection of the soul, and same with photographs, and vampires wouldn't have had souls, so it wouldn't show up in the mirrors or the photographs. I think that's really neat.
I also, like, what I really like about that is that, like, the first photographs, it was, like, there were people who were very scared of having their photo taken because they were worried it was going to capture their soul. So yeah, it's very in keeping with that.
It's very cool. And now if we flip back to Twilight and Edward does show up in mirrors and photographs, do you really not have a soul, Edward?
Yeah, like, his whole thing is like, oh, I don't have a soul.
Faker.
But now we don't know. Well, I mean, in real life, you know, photographs don't literally capture your soul. You know that, right? It's important to me that you know that.
I know.
If photographs captured your soul and, like, stole it, it would mean you can have your photo taken only once.
Or
you have multiple souls.
Or it's like a Horcrux thing, and you have to destroy every photo of me ever taken to kill me.
Fuck.
That's it. I've decided.
Yeah, I'm on board with that.
Excellent.
Fucking good luck. Just wait, okay. Now mm-hmm. Here's a question. Is that all photos or just photos that were had silver nitrate involved in the development?
All photos. But they have to be photos where, like, you can see my eyes, you know?
Oh, because the eyes are the doorway to the soul.
Yeah.
Nice. I like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about, like, a highly realistic digital painting? Because if you're saying, like, digital photos count, those are just pixels.
Okay. Well, all right. So I found a fun fact about the original Bram Stoker's Dracula, where this wasn't in the book, but they found notes from Bram Stoker where he has a character come in and try to paint a portrait of Dracula, and it doesn't work. Like, the image won't stay on the canvas. And he's like, you can't paint me. And it's like this whole thing. But how wild is that?
I am so interested in that. I think that should be the vampire lore, because I want to know, like, how detailed, like, if I draw a stick figure.
Where's the line?
That's fine. But if I draw a stick figure and then, like, write Dracula and an arrow pointing to the stick figure, then does the stick figure disappear?
Oh,
what about,
that.
Like, abstract expressionism? Like, if Picasso painted Dracula, would that be okay?
Oh. Maybe that's why I didn't make it in the book.
What about Dracula as an anime character? Is that okay? Does it have to be, like, photorealistic?
There is a Dracula as an anime character.
There is an anime Dracula, that's true. But I mean, mm-hmm. in Bram Stoker's Dracula, assuming Dracula is still alive in the 21st century, and I drew him as an anime character, would it just disappear?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm making a call.
So where is the line then? You sound like you've made a call. Tell me.
I think I like the idea of you draw a stick figure, and as soon as it's clear that it is Dracula, it's gone.
Okay, so it's the intended representation.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I can get behind that. So, like, if okay. I just draw a stick figure and I'm like, this is a stick figure, it's nothing. If I draw a stick figure and then, like, draw it, yeah, then I say, like, this is a drawing of Dracula, then it's gone. Now, here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
What if I, like, draw someone who looks like Dracula?
Then it's the intention.
So, like, say, like, oh, wait, but what about, like, other forms of art? Like, okay, I can't paint or draw Dracula, but, like, if I cosplay Dracula,
then you disappear.
Can I sculpt Dracula?
Well, no, because then it would.
Like, if I sculpt Dracula, does my clay just disappear?
Oh.
Could this be a method for garbage disposal, waste-free? We sculpt Dracula out of our old banana peels and they disappear, and it's like, we've solved landfills.
I like that. Let's make that. That's the canon.
Thank you, Bram Stoker.
Wild. So that would be a Dracula superpower, maybe? Is
impossible to be represented?
Yes. I don't know. But you know what's weird?
Tell me, what's weird?
The Twilight vampires have superpowers sometimes, and sometimes not. And it's, like, basically random what their powers are and where they came from and, like, whether or not you have one.
And, like, I feel like there was kind of an explanation for it, but, like, it was really vague and, like, doesn't really make sense in the, like, in the whole picture. And it's always really bothered me.
Well, here's kind of what I've sussed out here. some of them make sense and some of them don't. Like, okay, Bella's thing, her shield or whatever, her mind shield, is kind of hereditary. I've been reading Old Midnight Sun, and at some point he's trying to read Charlie's mind, and Charlie's mind, he can still hear it, but he can't really, like, understand what's coming out of it. It's kind of muffled. It's like, so we can get the vibe of it. Yeah. Exactly. He can get the vibe of it, but he can't pick out individual words. And he thinks that's where Bella gets her thing from. So first of all, partially hereditary. Interesting. And I guess we can kind of say that it's because they keep to themselves. They're very quiet and shy and whatever. Okay, so they're self-contained. Fine. I can get behind that. Jasper has his emotion manipulating powers because as a human person, he was super charismatic. Okay, I can get behind that. But then why can Alice see the future? And why can Jane taser people with her mind? Like, where do those powers come from?
Yeah, like, that's what kind of bothers me, is that, like, some powers there's explanation for and some there aren't. And it's really, really inconsistent. And also, like, the explanations don't really work because, like, okay, so Bella has hers. It's hereditary with her dad. But, like, you can't tell me that Bella is the first shy person Edward's ever met.
Yeah. Maybe she's the most shy, but that doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound right, because she's not actually that shy if you read the book.
Yeah, that's true. Bella is ready to fight, like, at all times. She's ready to throw hands constantly.
Oh my god, yeah. And, like, so, yeah, that's the thing. Like, sometimes it's something that has to do with when they were a human, and sometimes it's not. And I guess, to me, that almost seems like it's, like, a latent gene that is activated when you become a vampire.
Oh, that would make sense.
And maybe just certain people don't have that gene, and that's why they don't get powers, like Carlisle.
Yeah, or, like, Emmett is the strongest vampire, but it's not, like, his power. He's just kind of ripped, like...
He's just swole.
Yeah. And I feel like Rosalie had a power. She doesn't, but I get a vibe that she would.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I'm always kind of forgetting that she doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of weird that vampires that don't have powers and vampires that do have powers pair off together?
Hey!
Yeah. There's no, like, vampire with a power vampire without a power. Except maybe, like, James and what's her name?
Victoria.
Yeah.
But James is a tracker. Is that a power?
Oh, is that his power? Oh, shit. You know what? No, because they all track. Because it's, like, they're super... That's, like, the normal vampire thing that you have, like, super smell or whatever.
Yeah, but he's, like, an extra tracker. He's proficient, like, in it, you know?
Isn't that the same way that Emmett's proficient in being strong? Like, it's not actually a superpower.
And I don't think Victoria has a superpower either, so...
Oh, okay, still. So never mind. They are paired off with two non-superpowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's another reason it's really weird that, like, some of them have it before they get turned and some of them don't, is that, like, none of them have a supernatural power before they get turned. It's just like, oh, this fits your personality. Whereas, like, Bella actually had the power to block mind control.
Yeah. I mean, she couldn't... It was kind of a passive trait. Like, she couldn't actively use it, because in Breaking Dawn, she, like, trains and learns how to use it on purpose.
Well, that's after she's a vampire, though.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings me to the other thing. And I think we talked about this before. I can't remember if we talked about it on the podcast, but why does Bella's blocking power work on some vampires and not others? Like, Jasper is able to affect her.
Yeah. Alice can read her mind still, but Jane can't taser her, and Aro can't read her mind and
see her future.
Alice can see her future. That's right. And Edward can read the werewolves' minds, but Alice can't see their future. Like, why are they so selective?
It's a lot of inconsistencies. And yeah. It's really annoying. And, like, running with the idea of being a latent gene, that's really similar to, like, how X-Men works. But, like, in X-Men, there was always a reason. Like, not, like, a reason for why people got their powers, but, like, there was a literary reason of, like, how it was, like, a metaphor for social injustice.
Fair, yeah.
And it was still, you know, consistent, like, they have powers, they usually, you know, it's a genetic thing, it has to do with evolution, blah, 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 blah. But of course, like, I mean, everything in Marvel can be explained to death forever because there's just so many years of material to look at.
Mm-hmm. And like the Twilight vampire superpowers do kind of have a narrative purpose, but their narrative purpose is always plot related. Like, it's nice to have a vampire that can chill everyone out when things are tough, and it's nice to have a vampire who can see the future and see where things are going. Like,
I guess I'd just like to know why, like, some people get vampire superpowers when they become a vampire and some don't. And also, like, the superpowers aren't creative at all.
Yeah. Where's the laser eyes vampires?
Yeah. And, like, sometimes they're just like, oh, you're really strong. Like, is that a superpower or is that just, like, who he is?
Yeah. And where's the line for the superpower stuff?
Yeah, because everyone gets really strong when they become a vampire.
Mm-hmm. But it's not a power. Like, Edward can also read minds, but he's a little bit faster at running. Like, that's not really anything. It's just a trait.
Yeah, so, like, it kind of seems like, you know, everyone gets these things and they get them to different degrees just because, like, they're biological beings. They're not going to be perfectly exactly the same. That's not how anything works.
Right.
But then with the superpowers, it's just like some of them get them, some of them don't. And some of the powers are really weird. Like, some of them can read minds and some of them can taser people. And it's like, why? Like, this would have been, I mean, it's just like another example of how, like, this could have been done much better.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that could have been interesting. And I guess it almost speaks to, like, how Smyre's writing is, where she puts the interesting things in the background and shoves the boring shit down our throat.
Yes. It's so frustrating because here we are having, like, our third conversation now about how things don't make sense, but they could if you just tried a little bit harder.
Yeah, like, if you just, like, you know, let us know about the interesting parts. And I mean, I don't want to give Smyre credit for having, like, interesting things. She is the worst. But, like, if I were going to rewrite Twilight, it would have a much bigger focus on those powers and less on romance.
Yeah, you can still have romance be a central theme and not have it be the only theme. Like, if that's your goal, just, like, pepper it in here and there. You don't have to have Bella sniffing Edward's breath every three pages. Like, we get it. Can we get onto some plot, please?
Oh, God. And, like, speaking of sniffing, do we want to talk about some werewolf bullshit?
Yeah, let's talk about some werewolf bullshit. How does the werewolf biology work?
What's the deal with Leah Clearwater?
What's the deal with Leah Clearwater? She's the only female werewolf ever in the whole history of everything. First of all, why? Why is she a werewolf now, and why haven't there been other werewolves who have been women before?
Because Stephanie's a misogynist.
And it's like, they use it to further her tragic backstory, like her father died and now she's raising her baby brother who is also a werewolf. And now, because she's a werewolf too, she can't have children for some reason, which is the single worst thing that could ever happen to her.
Can't the male werewolves have children? Like, it doesn't affect their ability to procreate.
Yeah, you would think, right? And like, okay, once they become a werewolf, they stop aging. But their cells regenerate really fast when they get hurt. What's up with that? And like, their cells regenerate really fast, but Leah Clearwater stops having any kind of reproductive cycle? What?
Okay, yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, we all know, like, it was literally just because Stephanie wanted to set up basically any female character that isn't Bella to be like an asshole.
Yeah.
Bella and Alice, I guess.
That's true. Alice is okay. Angela's okay.
Basically any female character that cares about appearances is an asshole.
Yeah. And the heart of a bunch of their problems is, man, I sure do wish I could have children, but I can't.
Oh my God, right? Like, how many characters do you need to give that narrative to?
Right? Can we fucking stop? Yeah. It's like Rosalie's entire character.
Which is so dumb. Rosalie has such a better backstory than that.
Rosalie is such an interesting person, but all we get from her is she sure can't stop looking in the mirror and she wants a baby so much she's willing to kill Bella for it.
And like, what is that even gonna do for her?
Yeah.
She's willing to kill Bella out of jealousy.
God.
And, like, does she really want a baby in the way that Bella had a baby? Because Bella didn't really get to have a baby. She got a baby for, like, a day, and then she had a teenager.
Yeah.
So, we have been talking about science so much.
Let's talk about some culture.
Let's talk about some behavior.
Yes. Mostly, I want them to use slang from all the eras. Like, okay, it's so easy to start using slang. Like, you just pick it up. It's like by osmosis. Like, how many times have you started doing something ironically and then it's just like a thing that you do now? Like,
oh my god, so much.
Yeah, I started saying yeet as a joke. I started dabbing as a joke. And now it's just a part of my personality. Like, you can't escape it. Don't do things ironically. You will never stop.
Key smashing instead of saying LOL.
Yeah. Like, you can't avoid it. Never do things as a joke.
There is no never make a joke ever.
That's right. Or that
you
would
heard
be...
it here first, fam. Gwen says never make jokes.
But like, okay. What I'm saying is, why doesn't Emmett say things like tubular more? That's what I want.
Oh my god, Emmett, like, in the 90s, would have totally been all over that shit.
Absolutely. And, like, they go to school and stuff. Like, okay, they fully ingrain themselves in their communities. They go to school. Edward reads minds. It's like, it's even if they spent all their time away from other people except for going to school, they would still pick up some of the slang and some of the way people talk. I say things like rad all the time. That's not even from like when I was alive. I just picked it up somewhere and now it's like a thing I say. Like, these guys all have a very like formal and proper way of speaking, and I don't think that makes any sense. I think they should have picked up colloquialisms the entire way through.
This actually comes back to our conversation from like right before we started recording. Like, I still think of the fucking hockey song and the Indiana Jones theme song if I'm about to have to do something. Because they played it in our high school every morning for the last 5 minutes before class started.
Yeah, it's like a deep ingrained, like...
Pavlovian response.
Yes! And we didn't even pick it up by accident. Or, like, on purpose. It was totally an accident. So, there's no way...
Well, like, I didn't even realize... That was where I got it from until today when you said I was reminding you of high school.
Yeah. It's just like so deeply ingrained in there. You don't even remember where you got it from. There are times where I've quoted like a show and I quote it so much that it's just a thing I say. And then like 10 years later, I'll be like, that was from that show. Like, I completely forgot where I got it from.
Yeah, like I have things I say that I'm like, oh, it's just like because I say them. And then I'll be rewatching the show and then I'm like, wait a second.
Right?
This is where I got it because they'll say it. And that being said, like it is commented on that like Edward talks like he's an old person, but it's just him.
Yeah.
Like, why don't the rest of them?
Because Edward is super pretentious.
Well, yeah, Edward is super pretentious.
He does it on purpose.
But what about the rest of them? Like, what are their speech patterns like? Because they don't use modern slang, but they don't use old slang either. They're just like existing in khakis
for real. They don't have any like defining characteristics for any era, and I think it's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, their backstories are stupid.
Yeah, all right, but like, man, Rosalie came from like what, the 20s?
Yeah,
she was high society in the 20s. She absolutely would have some weird slang to say.
Oh my god, yeah. And like,
I don't know what the slang is for the 20s, but hang on. Let me look it up. The bee's knees. Let's see. 1920s slang. Oh, these are so good. Listen. We got...
Hit me with some 1920s slang.
Okay, we got Bearcat, a fiery woman. We got...
Oh, like that song. Do the bear, yeah. Cat. Ba-do, ba-do, do, do, do. Do you think that's where that's from?
I don't know. That's a different... I'm not going to look that up right now.
That's a whole nother wormhole.
Right? We got blow, that means leave. We got copper, which is policeman.
Okay, you can't just be going around telling people to blow in a high school in the mid-2000s. I'm sorry. That was never going to happen.
I feel like she should, like... drift into that a little bit when she's with her family. You know, maybe she puts on appearances for school, but when she's comfortable, she just kind of drifts back into, like, the slang. Like people who speak a second language, you know?
I don't know, but you kind of, like, osmosis take on the slang of the people around you. So I think, like, with them being a family, like, wouldn't they gradually just be a combination of slang from all their eras?
Yes. They should all be saying ridiculous slang from the last 80 years.
Especially because, like, it's not like they stay in one place long enough to pick up that place's slang. They move every two or three years or whatever. So the only people that they're around enough to pick up slang from are each other.
Yeah. So, man, see, it would do so much for their characters, I think, if Bella's just talking to them and they drop, like, one weird slang completely by accident. They just kind of slip into it, because then it shows, like, how old they really are. They say they're old all the time, but they never show it.
And, like, that's a thing, like, that happens when you're hanging out with friends from another place. Like, do you have any idea how many lengthy convos I have with people about, like, Canadian slang versus American? And it's not even that different.
It's not. They're basically the same country.
Yeah, but ooh, I say toque.
So yeah, I think it would be fun if they did that, because I deserve it. I was gonna say they deserve it, but I just want to see them do it. Like, they're all right. From different eras. Carlisle's from, like, freaking 600 BC or something, like, AD.
God, that's true. He should talk like a caveman.
That's right. And, like, how funny would it be? Like, she sees him in the hospital. He's, like, after she gets almost crushed by a van, she goes to the hospital and he's checking her, make sure that she's fine. And then he's just like, yeah, you're, like, as okay as a, I don't know, cow in a bucket or, like, whatever.
Is that slang a thing? Is that on the list you were looking at?
I absolutely made it up just right now.
Okay, we're making cow in a bucket the new slang. It means things are good? Tight? What does cow in a bucket mean?
I don't know.
I think it maybe means you're okay, but you're in an uncomfortable situation. Like, everything's like fine, but it's a little uncomfortable. Like, yeah, when I hang out with my family, I'm like a cow in a bucket. It's not necessarily bad, but it's like, I'd rather not be here, you know?
Yeah. How big's a bucket?
I don't know, cow size. You know what they did us a disservice with in the movie? Not giving Jasper and Emmett accents.
Yes, they should have accents. And, like, okay, Tanya, one of the vampires in Alaska that Edward hangs out with sometimes.
Yeah.
In Midnight Sun, he is talking to her and he notices that she still has, like, a little trace of an accent from, like, Slovenia or wherever she came from. So, like, Emmett should have a country boy accent. And so should Jasper. It doesn't make any sense that they don't.
Yes.
Yes. You think the vampires go online?
Here's the thing. I don't know that they do. Like, I guess it was written in 2005. In 2005, like, it wouldn't be that weird to not own a computer. Like, my family just had dial-up till, like, 2013.
So maybe in 2005 they weren't online, but would they be online now? Emmett would, for sure.
Emmett definitely would. Edward absolutely would not.
Edward is going to, like, still have a flip phone in the year 2087. And Emmett in 2020 would be a TikTok star for sure.
Would Edward even have a flip phone at that point? He'd have, like, a fucking pager.
He has a flip phone in Twilight.
Does he?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so he would still have a flip phone in 2027.
Yep. Rosalie would probably...
Rosalie has an iPhone.
Yeah, absolutely.
The rose gold one.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Definitely. Alice also has an iPhone, but, like, it's the red one.
Yep.
They definitely all have iPhones, except for Edward, who has a flip phone. None of that family would have an Android. They're billionaires.
Oh, true. Jasper might have, like, the Samsung Galaxy, you know? One of those fancy, expensive Samsungs.
Nah. It's an iPhone.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like Jasper would have a laptop that's like kind of more like he shares one with Alice, maybe, you know?
Okay, but they don't have like a family computer. And no. I think Edward to this day does not know how to use a computer.
Absolutely not. I want Bella to make more fun of him for being old. Because not only is he like 100 something, which isn't really that old in vampire years, but he just acts like an old man.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to be mocked for it. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Once again, while it's fun to talk about the Twilight universe and make jokes about this thing that was such a huge part of our childhood, we can't ignore the real-life racism and prejudices that influence these works and are rampant throughout them, particularly with regards to Indigenous people. So, as we are your hosts, are two white people, we know our voices are not the most important here, so once again, we would like to draw your attention to Truth vs. Twilight, a collaborative effort between the Burke Museum and the Quileute tribe to inform people about their real-life culture and history. We strongly recommend you take a look at their website and make a donation if you can. As always, we'll put a link in the show notes.
So that wraps up this episode of Breaking Twilight. Have a question, comment, or suggestion? Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @Twilight_pod and Tumblr at @Breaking-Twilight. You can also email us at BreakingTwilightPod@gmail.com. In our next episode, we'll be picking apart Carlyle's medical degree and talking a little bit about how the Cullens live in society. Thanks for listening.
I think there's something else that we could call this.
Do you have something else that we could call it?
The thing that you wrote down here under context.
Fuck.